right. Man, we are crushing some Meyer generic chips again, just so you know. What's up, everyone? This is the Destruction Reviews Podcast. My name is Jason.
I'm Jeremiah.
And today, we are going to be discussing the 2024 Oscar nominations.
Woohoo!
So some of the big headlines right away is that Oppenheimer received 13 nominations, leads the field, and the movie Poor Things received 11 nominations, and there were, you know, Barbie got a bunch of nominations, and there are other movies that we're going to get into, but right off the bat, I guess we're going to talk about what's nominated for Best Picture, because that's kind of what everyone wants to see. And the Best Picture nominees this year are American Fiction, Anatomy of a Fall, Barbie, The Holdovers, Killers of the Flower Moon, Maestro, Oppenheimer, Past Lives, and Poor Things, and The Zone of Interest. Mm. Those are all of our Best Picture nominees.
Okay.
Now, as much as cinephiles as we are, you know, we haven't seen every movie. Maybe in the next couple of weeks we're going to bang some of these out for the show, possibly. But off the top of your head, Jeremiah, I know we saw Oppenheimer. And if you guys haven't heard our episode, it is in the archives. Check it out on all the streaming platforms. But when we saw that movie, we talked about, first question was, is this the best picture of the year? And the critics, or I guess the Academy, agree that it is definitely worth nomination.
Yes. I'm happy to see it, man. They deserve this. This is well deserved. You said 13 nominations?
Overall, yep.
Overall? That's pretty good, man. That's damn good. It really is.
I saw Barbie.
Okay.
I saw The Holdovers. The Holdovers was on, I think it was on Prime or it was on Peacock. It's on one of those streaming services.
Okay.
And that was a really good drama. There's comedy in it. I guess you'd call it a dramedy.
Okay.
But it's a good movie that has great performances in it. Whereas, like, I don't know if I'd say I'd ever watch that again. But there are some performances in that were really good. Barbie was a fun movie that in the third act, it kind of takes a left turn and it gets really like depressing and real.
Really?
And like, the movie bangs you over the head with the idea that the patriarchy is running this world and that women don't have a voice.
Okay.
And that's kind of the overall, one of the overall themes of that movie.
Okay.
And for 2.5 hours, like, it's just, it kind of gets overboard.
Okay. I would imagine. I really would imagine.
Killers of the Flower Moon. It's a Scorsese film. It's on Netflix now if you guys want to check it out. No, I'm sorry. I lied. It's on Apple TV. Leonardo DiCaprio is in it. Lily Gladstone's, they're the two big actors in it. It's a great true story about a Indian reservation back in the 20s that had a string of unsolved murders that eventually kind of were found out to be done by these white, money-hungry businessmen that essentially kind of set these female Indians up to get their money. And, you know, it's told in, it's told in a way by Martin Scorsese, who, if you've seen The Departed or Goodfellas, it has that sort of kind of gangster style.
Okay. I'm going to have to check that one out. Let's see the list again, James.
Okay.
Okay. So out of these, how many nominations do we got for that?
So for Best Picture, 1, 2, 3, 4, 5, 6, 7, 8, 9, 10. There's 10 Best Picture nominees.
10 Best Picture. And how many have you seen?
I have seen Barbie and Holdovers, Killers of the Flower Moon, Maestro, Oppenheimer, Poor Things. I've seen six of the 10.
Six of the 10?
Yep.
Okay. And do you think there are any snubs?
No. I mean, You know, there are movies like, if there are any snubs, mm-hmm. you know, I'm just kind of looking at my list from last year of like what I liked. Mm-hmm. You know, I think Willy Wonka.
I was going there too.
Wonka, I think, was released too late for okay. this cycle for the Oscars. Okay. Guardians of the Galaxy 3 is mm-hmm. I love that movie. It's not going to be a Best Picture.
Okay.
But Knock at the Cabin, that's not a Best Picture nominee.
Still really good, though.
Still really good. And Tetris, I really enjoyed, but not a lot of people did. Okay. So, no, there was really no snubs as far as Best Picture.
Okay.
You know. And for Best Picture, you know, I always kind of think to myself, if the movie is the Best Picture of the year, I'm going to rewatch it.
Right.
And I'm probably not going to rewatch Barbie.
Okay.
I watched Maestro. Uh-huh. It's on Netflix. That one is on Netflix. Yeah. Bradley Cooper plays Leonard Bernstein, who's a composer.
Okay.
In the 20th century.
So we're talking like Beethoven type.
Yes, but okay. for somebody who's in like the 20th century.
Okay.
He's done. If you're familiar with West Side Story, that's kind of his biggest popular songs.
I've heard, I'll probably be familiar if I heard the melody.
Exactly. And he's done other music that you've probably heard. And it's written and directed by Bradley Cooper.
Okay.
He stars Bradley Cooper. And it's awful.
Is it?
Oh, my God.
Wow.
Like, there's a Carey Mulligan, who is the lead actress in that movie.
Mm-hmm.
It has a really good performance.
Okay.
But overall, that movie was god-awful slow. It was boring. Like, nothing happens.
Okay.
And, you know, I'm going to say it. The fact that everyone in this movie was gay was like, that was also part of his story, was he was an undercover. He was in the closet gay man in New York. And it's like, gee, like
it went overboard.
Yeah. I have nothing against gay people. Good for you. You know, I'm pro everything, but like, holy crap. I don't need to see 2.5 hours of it.
I'm not a fan of the overboard of anything. Too much of anything will kill you. You
know, and I think it took away from me really focusing on his story and caring.
100%.
Cause it was just like knocking me over the head with it.
Right.
Killers of the Flower Moon, I would watch again. It's a great story. There's the acting is great. The cinematography is great. The costuming is great. You know, it's a Scorsese film, and I press play, and I'm pretty much already gonna like it. Oppenheimer, of course. You know,
absolutely.
It's I can't wait to watch it again when it comes to streaming.
How do you think these movies stack up against Oppenheimer?
So, that's a good question. So, and then also Poor Things is something that we just recently saw. Beth and I went and checked it out.
So, that's still in the theater?
Still in the theaters.
Okay.
Emma Stone, Willem Dafoe, and unsettling, interesting, quirky, disturbing, thought-provoking film with an amazing performance by Emma Stone. Like, she... Dude, I'm telling you, like, it is. When we walked into the movie, the concierge said, "Just so you know, it's a strong R rating."
Really?
And I said, "What does that mean?"
Okay.
I'm like, "Does Emma Stone get naked?" And she's like, "Well, I haven't seen the movie." I'm like, "Well, I don't know what I'm walking into.
Like,
is this gonna be Faces of Death? Is this gonna be like hardcore porn? Like, what am I gonna see?"
Right.
And, the movie is graphic. There's a lot of nudity. There's a lot of sex.
Okay.
But it's told for the story. Where I kind of criticized Oppenheimer for, I accepted it in Poor Things because it's the way this character was developing in the movie.
Okay.
You know, she has a sexual awakening along with a mental and world awakening.
Okay.
Is a really short way of talking about this movie. But does it stack up to Oppenheimer? Killers of the Flower Moon, Poor Things, and Oppenheimer are probably top three of the 10 that are in the list.
Okay.
That I've seen. But I don't know if these other films are going to stack. Because those are 10, you know. Oppenheimer is a 10. Killers of the Flower Moon is a 10. Mm-hmm. I gave Poor Things a 9, simply because it just ran, I think, a little too long. It was like a half hour longer than it should have been.
Okay.
But that being said, and I know I've rambled, but I think the best picture for me would probably be Oppenheimer. The only Poor Things would get it simply because it was different and it was interesting.
Okay.
And I would watch it again because it is so weird and
really
cool.
Okay.
And I would watch Oppenheimer again simply because of, like, Christopher Nolan's fantastic filmmaking. I don't know, flip a coin, gun to my head kind of thing, I guess I'm voting for Oppenheimer.
Oppenheimer.
I gave it a 10, I gave Poor Things a 9. So yeah, Oppenheimer's my vote.
Okay. I can't get behind Barbie, man. I haven't seen it.
Right.
But Barbie seems to me like a an industry push thing.
And what are they pushing?
I don't know. I haven't seen it.
Female agenda?
Maybe the female power thing.
I know you haven't seen it, but that's what I took from it. And okay. I think women also probably took that from it because it empowers them to believe that, yeah, the men are holding them down.
Okay.
You know, so, I mean, I see both sides of the argument, but
I think it's
a fun, dude, I'm telling you, first two acts are fun.
Okay.
Margot Robbie, fantastic. Ryan Gosling, fantastic.
Okay.
Will Ferrell shows up in it.
Really?
There's other surprises. If you've seen Barbie, you know who the mermaids are and things like that.
Okay.
But it just, we talk about, what did we talk about with Maestro? The gay was overboard.
Why?
Well, this, the sort of like, the women, the patriarchy holding the women down idea in that Barbie just seemed to go on forever.
Was it a bit like a a tone of like feminism in it?
Yes,
that's what it sounds like.
Yeah, I guess that's the word I was trying to find.
That's what it looks like.
Yeah,
you know what I mean.
And no matter what you look like, what you weigh, what you, you know, your ethnicity, that and the other, you're all special.
Right.
You know, and don't let a man tell you what to do. Don't let a man hold you down.
Ah, man, I'm just done with that whole thing.
And maybe, I don't know, and if you're listening to me and you think I'm off my rocker, I mean, great. I'm glad you're listening. But it beat me over the head with it.
Okay. I just can't get behind that message anymore, man. It's like 2024, you know, some of the most powerful people in the entire world are female.
Right.
I mean, Vice President. is a freaking female, for crying out loud. I mean, I don't know how much longer you can push that. I really don't. I mean, it's falling on deaf ears with me, man. I gotta be all honest with you.
It kind of took me out of the movie too, where it was like, oh, this is what we're doing.
All
right.
I've kind of had enough of that. and I'm just being honest. It's not like a misogynistic thing. It's just like a real thing, man. We've been through this several times before,
right?
You know,
it's funny because this topic is one of the reasons why people crapped all over the Marvels.
Exactly.
But that movie, the way it was presented, and what they gave us and the story they told us, was super enjoyable.
Exactly. It was not a feminist toned movie,
right?
You know what I mean? But Barbie, I can just, you can smell it on it, you know, it's written all over it.
So, going into some of the, I mean, I don't know if you want me to go through all the categories, there's a lot of categories, but some of the major categories we'll talk about.
Okay, what do we have next?
Best director.
Okay.
All right. We got Justin Triet for Anatomy of a Fall.
Okay.
Martin Scorsese for Killers of the Flower Moon. Christopher Nolan, Oppenheimer.
Right.
Yorgos Lanthimos for Poor Things, and Jonathan Glazer for The Zone of Interest.
Okay.
All right, so let me just talk about The Zone of Interest for a second. It's a movie I haven't seen yet, but I looked it up, and it's about, so there was a general or somebody who oversaw concentration camps, a concentration camp.
Okay.
But
I mean, interruption. Are we talking about like specific concentration? Are we talking about Nazi concentration?
Nazi concentration camp.
Okay.
Sorry.
Okay. I just wanted to know. Okay. So we're talking about like Auschwitz and stuff like that?
Yeah.
Okay.
Right. And I don't know if it's specifically Auschwitz. I know it's one of them.
Okay.
And he oversaw it, but he also lived on the property.
Okay.
And so this movie is about how he lived his life with his wife and his garden and this and that, all the while running the ovens
and the really? Torture. Holy cow. Okay, I'm going to have to see that.
Man. Yeah. It's in theaters or, I mean, maybe that's some movie. What's cool about when these movies get nominated, like the theater chains start to play them again, like these small movies that we haven't seen yet. So hopefully we can see this one. But it just sounds so interesting.
It does. It does. Because, man, that's some brutal stuff right there.
Yeah.
You know?
I have not seen that movie, obviously, but I've seen Killers of the Flower Moon, I've seen Oppenheimer, and I've seen Poor Things. And for me, best director is somebody who can get performances out of people that maybe you don't expect or are thought-provoking and emotional. And I really liked, when we were talking about Oppenheimer, the stuff we got out of Cillian Murphy, the stuff we got out of Matt Damon, Robert Downey was good, Emily Blunt, you know, even Florence Pugh. And some of the other guys in that film, I can't think of off the top of my head, but that was a really good directed film.
Yes.
Poor Things, Willem Dafoe, and Emma Stone are excellent in their performances. Okay. Is that a result of a director? It's a director letting an actor do something and going for it.
Because I was just going to ask you that. I was going to ask you now, you know, some of these movies have, like, top-notch actors.
Yep.
You know what I mean? So, is it the actors carrying that and putting the director in a good light? Or are they just being directed really well? You know what I mean?
Right.
That's what I was going to ask.
And I just don't know that answer yet when I think about her. Because some of the other actors, some of the other performances in that movie seem reserved, I guess, compared to her character, because her character is pretty eccentric.
Okay.
But I think about Oppenheimer, I think about Christopher Nolan, and he did not win for The Dark Knight. He was nominated for Best Director, but did not win that year.
Did not.
And I think this is the year that he gets it, because the gravitas that Cillian Murphy, Robert Downey, and even the all those people that we see in the interrogation room.
Yeah.
And, you know, the guy who played Edison. Edison, I'm sorry. Yeah, right?
I think it was his name. You talking about the...
Einstein. Right, okay. Not Edison.
Okay. Yeah. You're talking about Einstein. Okay.
Yeah.
I thought you were talking about the other guy who was one of the guys in the interrogation room.
Yeah.
I can't even remember his name.
Those were all great performances as a whole.
Okay.
I think everybody... It's like everybody knew they were in the same movie.
Mm-hmm.
And they're giving just dynamic performances. So I think it's going to be
Christopher Nolan. I gotta tell you, man, the way that movie flipped on his head with Robert Downey at the end...
Yeah.
That was nothing but directing right there. That was just brilliant, man. That was gorgeous.
Yes, sir.
It really was.
And then next on our list... is we're just going to talk about the lead actor, Bradley Cooper in Maestro, Coleman Domingo in Rustin, Paul Giamatti in The Holdovers, Cillian Murphy in Oppenheimer, and Jeffrey Wright in American Fiction. Okay. Now, as I said earlier, Bradley Cooper in Maestro, pretty forgettable.
Really?
Yeah. It's a terrible movie.
Okay.
You know, and maybe if you're listening to this and you've seen Maestro and you like it, hats off to you. That's awesome. I just couldn't get into it.
Something about Bradley Cooper, man, sometimes his performances just don't sit right with me. He's, when I watch him, it's kind of like he's like a half-baked type of dude. Sometimes I don't feel like he's all the way invested in his roles. That's what I want to say. He doesn't, and I don't know if it's just because the way he looks.
Yeah.
You know? Okay, put it like this. He is Matthew McConaughey, except watered down. You know what I mean? Uh-huh. You can put Matthew in any role he does, and Matthew, you know what I mean? I think he'd do better. That's how I see it. Like if you would put Bradley Cooper into Interstellar,
yeah,
I don't think it would be as convincing.
That's a good flip.
I don't think he could pull that off the way that...
Because like emotional stuff?
Yes, because if you look at Interstellar, you know what I mean? The story, like, you know, Matthew McConaughey carries that. And I don't think Bradley Cooper could do that.
Okay.
You know what I mean?
Matthew McConaughey would have been, like, you know, the brother-in-law in that movie. Like, later on when they grow up, remember? Mm-hmm. Like, the kids grow up.
Yes.
And the grandfather comes for them.
Mm-hmm.
That's where he would show up.
Okay.
Like Casey Affleck's role. That's what I think.
Okay.
But, you know, and I'm thinking like A Star Is Born, the movie he did with Lady Gaga a couple years ago, mm-hmm. where he sings and...
Matthew.
Bradley Cooper.
Okay.
Where he's a fading country singer who's an alcoholic.
Okay.
So he kind of walked through that role.
Okay.
But Lady Gaga carries that movie. Which he also directed. He directed Maestro and he directed A Star Is Born. A Star Is Born is fantastic.
Okay.
However, it's like the third version of that movie. Like, it's been redone 3 times. So you can't really screw it up.
Right. You got the blueprints.
That's interesting. Of course, that's fine. Of course, we've got, Colin Domingo. Who some of you guys might know, he was, I can't think of his name. He was one of the leads in Fear the Walking Dead, and he's shown up in other films. But he's playing a real person named Rustin. The movie is on Netflix.
Okay.
It's about a guy who was a part of, like, the marches with Martin Luther King.
Wow. Okay.
And he was gay.
Okay.
Okay. So not only is he, you know, kind of a freedom fighter and a socialist, social activist.
Right.
But he's also gay.
Right. Way back in the day.
Yeah. Okay. So 1960s or whatever. Mm-hmm. So that could be interesting.
Okay.
Paul Giamatti and The Holdovers. Again, someone else is nominated for this film and we'll get to it. Mm-hmm. I think was way better. Paul Giamatti is okay.
Okay.
He won the Golden Globe for Best Actor. I don't think that was right. I think Cillian Murphy... in Oppenheimer gets it. I didn't see Jeffrey Wright.
Oh, wow. He went against Cillian Murphy?
Yeah.
And he beat him?
He beat him at the Golden Globes. Now, that's the Hollywood Foreign Press, who is the... So it's a Critics Award.
Okay.
The Academy Awards is the Academy, so it's fellow...
Award winners?
Award winners and fellow filmmakers.
Okay.
Wow,
I still can't believe that.
Yeah. And it was an okay performance, but it was like, eh. It's a great movie. It's a good movie. It's a good family-oriented movie. It's just, Cillian Murphy, dude, come on.
Right. That's what I'm saying. Like, come on, man.
So then we have actress in a leading role.
Okay.
Annette Bening in Naiad. Lily Gladstone in Killers of the Flower Moon. Sandra Hüller in Anatomy of a Fall. Carey Mulligan in Maestro. And Emma Stone in Poor Things.
Okay.
Naiad is on Netflix. And it is a true story about a woman who I think swims like an ocean or something.
Oh, geez.
I don't know. Jodie Foster's in it as well.
Okay.
I
think I've heard about that story in like real life.
Yeah.
The woman who swam like across the ocean.
Something like that.
Okay.
Carey Mulligan in The Maestro. She plays Bradley Cooper's wife who knows he's gay. But still marries him to cover it up just so she can, be a part of the success and part of, you know.
Interesting.
You know, kind of ride his coattails.
Okay. That sounds like an Academy Award winning role.
And then, left turn.
Okay.
This is a true story, so it's not like I'm spoiling anything, but, she gets cancer.
Oh.
And the last half of the movie is her living and dealing with it while he's doing what he's doing in his career.
Whoa.
And it's like the best part of the movie is when she's dying.
Wow. Okay. Okay. Now that sounds good though.
Yeah.
That sounds really good.
Lily Gladstone, Killers of the Flower Moon, she makes history as the first indigenous actress to be nominated for an Oscar.
Really?
Yep. She's from she's you know, blooded Indian, Native American, and she did win the Golden Globe for Best Actress, so she set the record for that, and now she's the first to ever be nominated for an Oscar, and it's possible that she wins this.
Good for her. You know,
so we're kind of living in this resurgence or this new era of like indigenous actresses and actors, which is really cool.
Good for her.
And then of course we got Emma Stone, who I've just been gushing over. What's interesting about the Killers of the Flower Moon, as far as like these acting nominations, actually Leo didn't get nominated. It's not a snub. Okay. I think Leo kind of slept walk through that movie, honestly. I think he did better in other films.
Okay.
She really carried the movie, but it's also a movie of a giant ensemble cast. So she's not somebody that I think is... When I think of best actress, I think somebody carries the movie or is the whole movie. And that's what I think Emma Stone is. I think Emma Stone is my vote for Poor Things just because of the performance she put out. Okay. Lily Gladstone does great. Don't get me wrong. I would watch that movie again and again. But Emma Stone, I mean, I'm sitting there with my hands in my head in my hands, just like, what more? What is she gonna do next?
Okay.
So I agree. So actor in a supporting role.
Okay.
This is something we talked about in Oppenheimer. You know.
I see the name.
Yep.
Come on, let's get to it.
So we got Sterling K. Brown in American Fiction. We got Robert De Niro in Killers of the Flower Moon.
Okay.
Robert Downey Jr. in Oppenheimer.
Yes, sir.
Ryan Gosling in Barbie. Okay. And Mark Ruffalo in Poor Things.
Okay, before you dive in, this is interesting, okay? Ryan Gosling was that good?
Yes.
Okay.
He was the best part of the film.
Wow.
In fact, because his character almost gets marginalized from the feminism, he's almost a sympathetic character.
Oh, I see. So it kind of like
the movie. The movie starts off. You know, Barbie's living in a Barbie world, right?
Right.
It's all good. It's all exciting. It's plastic. It's fantastic.
Right.
Ken wants to be the boyfriend. Ken wants to be. Ken's in love with Barbie.
Okay.
But Barbie's not made to love Ken. Barbie and Ken are supposed to be boyfriend and girlfriend if you play with them.
Uh-huh.
But in the world of Barbie, if the figures actually lived in their own world...
Right. Ken doesn't like him.
Correct. He's just an accessory.
Wow.
And so then his story arc in the movie is that he tries to find his own independence and what it means to be Ken.
Okay. Interesting. Okay. Interesting.
and you talked about snubs in the Best Picture.
Yes.
I will say this. I think Matt Damon was snubbed for Best Supporting Actor.
Okay.
I think Matt Damon, I said it on the podcast, I'll say it here, I think Matt Damon was better than Robert Downey Jr.
Mm-hmm.
But Robert Downey Jr. is somebody that, you know, the press is rolling with him. He's getting all of the buzz for supporting actor.
Okay. I won't be mad. Okay. Put it like this. Matt Damon was... amazing. He really, really was. He was amazing in Oppenheimer. But I'm not mad at Robert Downey Jr. getting a nomination.
Right on.
You know what I mean?
Yeah, I agree. It's deserved.
Mm-hmm.
Especially coming off of 20 years of Avengers and Iron Man.
Right.
This is something visually and character-wise we haven't seen.
We have not seen. At least not in a very, very long while.
Right.
Cause like you said, man, 20 years he's been doing superhero stuff.
Yep.
Iron Man for the last 20 years.
Yep. I mean, what other film has he done?
I don't think...
There might have been one or two, but nobody remembers that.
No. Not at all. Not at all.
Actress in a supporting role. And then we'll kind of go to some other... These are the major character categories.
Okay.
Actress in a supporting role. We got Emily Blunt as in Oppenheimer. Danielle Brooks in The Color Purple. America Ferrera in Barbie. Jodie Foster in Naiad.
Mm.
And Divine Joy Randolph in The Holdovers.
Okay.
All right. So this is actually a really interesting category. When we did the podcast for Oppenheimer, I thought Emily Blunt was excellent.
She was.
She is excellent. She was and is excellent in that film.
I just love Emily Blunt. Okay. I'll just say that. I'm
Quiet Place?
Yes. I'm completely biased to her. I really am, man. I love Emily Blunt. I love her. She's a really good actor. And if you've seen The Quiet Place, she practically carries those movies.
Right.
She's great.
Having to give birth to a baby. Yes. Oh my God. Silently. Oh, come on, dude.
Oh, man. Yeah, she was so good. Yes, sir.
Danielle Brooks in The Color Purple. Now, we haven't seen this version of The Color Purple. But if people...
Is this the musical one?
Yes.
Not a fan.
Now, Danielle Brooks, for those of you who might not know offhand...
See, hold on. Before you get too deep in that. Uh-huh. See, this is why I say Wonka was snubbed. Because when did Color Purple come out?
You know what? You're right. It came out after.
Come on, man.
Wonka was snubbed.
How does someone in Color Purple get nominated and no one in Wonka gets nominated for anything?
I'll tell you why.
Oh, why? Go ahead. I think I know where you're going.
Color of her skin.
Yes.
And it's an Oprah production.
Right. Continue, sir. And that's what I mean by the industry got its hands on some of this stuff, you know. Even if she doesn't win, right, you know, that nomination, it's like, come on, where did that come from?
Right.
You know?
I will say this.
Okay.
She did, you just mentioned it was a musical. It's a movie musical based off the musical on Broadway.
Okay.
And on Broadway, Danielle Brooks won a Tony for her role on Broadway.
Okay.
So there's a little bit of history to her being really good in this role. Okay. I haven't seen this movie, but I have seen clips of the musical. I've listened to the musical album. It's fine. It's good. It's fine. It's whatever. Okay. But we're talking, you know, if there's 1, 2, 3, 4, 5, there's 5 actresses in this category, she's third in my opinion.
Okay.
And she was also in Orange is the New Black, if people don't remember that. Mm-hmm. So she was really good in that. She's a really good dramatic actress.
Okay.
I think this is just a handout.
Right.
America Ferrera and Barbie. Now, as a supporting actress, she does her role well by pushing Barbie to get to the next level in her character story arc.
Okay.
But she's not. It's okay. It's okay.
Okay.
Now, maybe if we're two women and we're talking about this movie, maybe we're gushing over America Ferrera. But to me, it was like, it was okay. Jodie Foster and Nyad, didn't see it. It's whatever.
Mm-hmm.
Divine Joy Randolph, The Holdovers. Okay. I will say this, she's also a black woman, so I'm not trying to say one without the other.
Right.
She absolutely steals The Holdovers.
Okay.
Her character, by far, is such a great part of that film. She is just... Her performance is heartbreaking. It's funny. It's loving. It's everything you want to feel good in a movie is in this character.
All right.
And so for me, that is my vote for Best Supporting Actress.
Really?
Yep. Emily Blunt is great. And there are so many things about Emily Blunt in that movie with the way she, you know, the way she deals with him, with the alcohol and the baby. Mm-hmm. And then when she saves him at the end with the hearing.
Mm-hmm.
Phenomenal.
Phenomenal.
But Randolph in The Holdovers, just, she changes Paul Giamatti's character because of her circumstances and makes him see the world in a different way.
Okay.
And so without her character and her emotion, he doesn't get to where he gets. And so that's what I pick.
Okay.
So.
Okay.
But Emily Blunt, I think one of those two, I think, are going to be the winners.
Okay.
Now, it could be I think Oppenheimer sweeps a lot of this, to be honest with you.
Mm-hmm.
But
I'm hoping Oppenheimer sweeps a lot.
And then, you know, we got other stuff like screenplays, which I, you know, I'm not going to go through every single thing. But cinematography, I'm going to talk about.
Okay.
And cinematography is basically, how does a movie look?
Okay.
Right? How does the camera shots look? How does the lighting look, et cetera, et cetera? And the nominees for that are El Conde, Killers of the Flower Moon, Maestro, Oppenheimer, and Poor Things. Now, we just saw the trailer for El Conde this afternoon.
Yes, we did.
It's a foreign vampire film that looks really interesting.
It really does.
And it's on Netflix, and we're definitely going to maybe check that out for an episode. But Killers of the Flower Moon looked really good for what it was. But Oppenheimer, dude. Mm-hmm. There are images in that film. I mean, if all you took was the test explosion, mm-hmm. I mean, hands down, I think it wins.
I mentioned that in the episode. I remember mentioning that as one of the standouts.
Yep.
Because that explosion was so great looking. It just looked great.
Yeah.
It looked incredible. Even just the like the cover photo of Cillian Murphy with the hat on.
Yes.
Great photo. Yep. You know? It's just great. It really was.
Yep.
Okay, I can see them winning. What about, I'm interested in this next category here.
Okay. Original song. Best song from a movie. We got The Fire Inside from Flaming Hot. Mm. I'm Just Ken from Barbie. It Never Went Away from American Symphony. Wazaze, which is a song for my people, from Killers of the Flower Moon. And What Was I Made For from Barbie.
Barbie got two nominations?
Yes.
Interesting.
Yeah.
No Jack Black from Mario, though.
No. Peaches did not get nominated.
Wow.
It did get nominated for a Golden Globe.
Okay.
It did not win.
Okay.
But I'll tell you this. Mm-hmm. What was I... So, I'm Just Ken just won the Critics' Choice Award for Best Song.
Okay.
What Was I Made For from Billie Eilish in the Barbie film is probably the front runner to win this award.
Okay.
Now, I'm Just Ken, it's a rock song. It's his song in the middle of the movie. I'm Just Ken.
Okay.
When she sees me, you know.
I get it. Yeah, he's just Ken.
He's
okay.
Just Ken. Like, okay. You know, she doesn't think I'm a 10, you know.
Right.
When she sees me, all she sees is a friend.
Okay.
I'm just Ken.
You know. Okay.
I mean, dude, it's
oh, man.
And it's Ryan Gosling singing.
Okay.
And kicking ass. And okay. He is backed up by 100 other Kens in that movie.
Oh, my goodness.
And it is, you know, it is an earworm, dude. And okay. I'm Just Ken and What Was I Made For from Barbie is also up in the best song from a movie for in the Grammys in a couple weeks. And I think that I'm Just Ken might win that one, honestly. Okay. Mark Ronson wrote and produced that song.
Okay.
He's the one that wrote and produced Uptown Funk.
What's the melody?
With Bruno Mars, Uptown Funk.
Oh, yeah, okay.
And that also has Slash from Guns N' Roses on it. Wolfgang Van Halen also plays guitar on it. Like, it's a kick-ass song that has a lot of stars on it.
Okay.
I'm a music nerd, so I really, like, love that song. Billie Eilish, What Was I Made For? Dude, it's just her and a piano.
Okay.
And she sings her ass off.
Okay.
Like it's she sings so quiet, uh-huh. like as a performance.
Uh-huh.
It's beautiful.
Okay.
And that song is up for like a ton of Grammys as well.
Okay.
I think it's gonna be a big Barbie year when it comes to the Grammys.
Okay.
I don't know about the Oscars. The Fire Inside is from Flaming Hot.
Mm-hmm.
Flaming Hot is a movie on Hulu about the guy who created Flaming Hot Cheetos.
Yes.
And it's awesome. Did you see it?
I have not seen it yet, but I do know of the movie.
I recommend it to anyone. It's a great movie.
Is it better than the McDonald's movie with
Michael Keaton?
Michael Keaton.
It's different.
Okay.
It's not as sad.
Okay.
Because Michael Keaton, dude, he broke those men.
Okay.
Ray Kroc destroyed those two guys.
Oh, my goodness.
But Michael Keaton was amazing in that movie.
Okay.
I love The Founder. Good stuff.
Okay.
Different movie. It's more of a family, you know, based, but it's really good.
Okay.
I don't know. You and I work in a factory, so I always get a kick out of these. I get a kick out of like these other factory movies.
Right. Okay.
It Never Went Away from John Batiste in American Symphony. I haven't seen American Symphony yet. Mm. I think it's on Netflix. John Batiste. He has kind of become the Grammy darling as far as, like, soul and R&B. Mm. He did the music for Soul, the Disney movie.
The kid movie?
Yeah.
Okay.
And then Watase for The Killers of the Flower Moon. You know, mm-hmm. it's done by Robbie Robertson, who just passed away. He was in The Band, which is an old 60s folk rock group. Okay. And he does a lot of, like, indigenous rock music. Mm. It's a good, it's an okay song. It's not going to win.
okay.
But no peaches from Jack Black.
That's a shame, man. That's a shame. Is it time to get to the other fun stuff?
No, well, almost. Okay. I just want to kind of get through a couple things here. Okay. There's a lot of categories. We're right. not going to get through everything, but I do want to get to Oppenheimer's up for makeup and hairstyling.
Okay. I can see that.
You know, Maestro's in there. Poor Things, Society of the Snow. Society of the Snow is up for Best International Feature as well. Okay. It's about the Uruguayan soccer team that their plane crashed in the middle of, like, the Andes or something, some mountain range, and they had to, like, survive for, like, 2 months.
Really?
It's incredible, dude. It's on Netflix. I highly recommend it. Okay. They've done versions of this movie in the past, but this movie is actually done by, like, the Uruguayan film company.
Okay.
So it's a little bit more, feels a little bit more authentic. And it's also up for makeup and hairstyling, which that's okay. I mean, it's whatever. I don't know. I don't think of that movie as makeup and hairstyling, but Oppenheimer, I mean, come on. We talked about Robert Downey Jr. We talked about Cillian Murphy. And when you see that movie, it's 1940s, 1950s.
100%.
I mean, you just step back into that world.
Yes, 100%.
Production design, Oppenheimer again. We just kind of talked about it. It kind of goes hand in hand, right? Costuming, production. I'm sorry. Did I miss one? I'm sorry.
Are you looking for?
I'm looking for visual effects.
Oh.
I'm sorry, guys. Costume song.
Has to be further down.
Yeah, it does. I'm sorry. Because that's actually a fun one.
Visual effects.
Yep.
Okay.
Film edit. Here we go. Visual effects. What's fun about this category is that's always like the genre one. We're all like the movies we've all seen.
Mm-hmm.
Visual effects is The Creator, Godzilla Minus One, Guardians of the Galaxy 3.
There you go.
Mission Impossible, Dead Reckoning Part 1, and Napoleon are up for visual effects.
Wow.
And, like, now, I've seen Guardians of the Galaxy 3.
Mm-hmm.
I've seen Mission Impossible, which all have great visual. And I've seen The Creator, which we're going to be talking about The Creator, I think, at some point.
Mm-hmm.
But I'm going to say, even though I haven't seen this movie yet, the trailer alone, Godzilla Minus One, looks absolutely stunning.
It does.
Like, I have never seen that monster. I've never seen the monster look like that.
Right.
All
the Godzillas really have incredible visual effects.
Yes.
Like Godzilla King of Monsters.
Yes.
That's one of the best visual effects movies I've ever seen. Like that three-headed dragon. Oh, that man. Was sick, dude. That was, like, sick.
So, on the flip side of the Oscar nominations is something called the Razzies, the Golden Raspberry Awards.
Here we go.
And these are a real group of people or a real contingent that gives out the worst in cinema awards for the year. And there has been a lot of... They've been doing this since about 1980.
That's wow.
That's how long this has been
going. I cannot believe this is a real thing. Okay, you guys. I woke up, one day, like one or two days ago.
Yep.
And I was watching the news, normal stuff. And they were talking about, like, Oscar stuff.
Mm-hmm.
And out of nowhere, every time the guy mentioned the name, he said, okay, the person nominated for, like, worst actor, worst leading role. And I thought it was, like, a bit. he was doing some type of bit, making fun of the guys who won or nominated for Oscars. But this is a real thing.
Yes, sir.
Wow.
The worst picture nominees this year The Exorcist, Believer, Expendables 4, Meg 2, The Trench.
Oh, wow, yes.
Shazam, Fury of the Gods, and Winnie the Pooh, Blood and Honey.
Wow.
Your thoughts?
Well, the Meg, yes, that should be. The Meg is horrible. That is a horrible movie. But Winnie the Pooh, I haven't seen yet, but I can imagine it was pretty bad.
I watched it.
Okay.
It's on Peacock, if you guys have that.
Okay.
And
what is Winnie the Pooh doing in a freaking horror movie? Like I don't even know how they... That's just horrible. The whole concept of that is horrible.
It's awful.
Okay.
Now you heard me earlier talk about how bad Maestro was.
Right.
I at least could watch Maestro.
Okay.
Oh, Winnie the Pooh. I struggle to finish this movie because it's just so dumb.
And I believe you. I really do. Like, how does Winnie the Pooh become a horror character? That's like taking, like, Winnie Pooh's like one of the friendliest cartoon characters of all time. Like, dude, what's his friend who's always down on his luck?
Eeyore.
Eeyore? Like, dude, he picks that guy up, like, so much every episode.
So in this movie, Piglet and Pooh kill him.
Piglet and Pooh kill
Eeyore.
Eeyore?
Yeah.
Oh, jeez. Gee, I forgot about Piglet, but I definitely know who he is.
Piglet's actually the psycho of all of them.
Really?
Yeah.
Okay. That's ridiculous, man.
Then we have worst actor of the year.
Okay.
Vin Diesel in Fast X.
Oh.
Chris Evans in Ghosted.
Okay.
Jason Statham in Meg 2.
Okay.
John Voight in Mercy. And Russell Crowe in The Pope's Exorcist.
Yo, that is wild. Because we absolutely hated Pope's Exorcist.
We were going to do a show,
right.
But it was so bad that we're like, I don't even want to talk about this.
Wow. Okay, definitely deserved. And the Jason Statham, he's going to have to take that home, man. That is bad. Dude, the Meg is bad. Like, have you seen the Meg 2?
No.
Oh, my goodness.
It is. I never saw the Meg 1 because it looked awful, and I'm not going to see the Meg 2.
Even the visual effects, you would think, like, in a movie like the Meg, they would have, like, great visual effects. Even the visual effects suck. That movie, it just sucks.
Worst actress, Ana de Armas in Ghosted.
Okay.
Megan Fox and Johnny and Clyde, which I've never heard of.
Right.
Salma Hayek and Magic Mike's Last Dance.
Oh, jeez. That's Magic Mike 2, right?
No, that's like 4.
Really?
Yeah.
Oh, my God.
Jennifer Lopez and The Mother. And okay. Dame Helen Mirren in Shazam Fury of the Gods.
What's up with Fury of the Gods? Why do they like that movie?
I enjoy that movie for what it was.
That was
actually better than the first one, I thought.
Yes. Jeez.
All right. I'm gonna kind of run down some of these other nominations. Worst Supporting Actress, Lucy Liu, Shazam Fury of the Gods.
Mm-hmm.
But Mary Stuart Masterson in Five Nights at Freddy's. She was the aunt.
The aunt. Okay, wait.
The aunt that wanted to keep the little girl... that tried to sue the father.
Tried to sue the father.
Yep.
Keep reminding me, man.
And then she's the one that set up the robbery that sort of like shows that dude was not a good you know, guy.
Right. I'm here now. Yeah, she didn't want the girl to be with her brother. Yes. Because she wanted the money, right?
Yes.
Okay.
Worst Supporting Actor.
Mm.
Michael Douglas and Bill Murray in their role in Ant-Man and the Wasp, Quantumania. As well as Franco Nero as the Pope in The Pope's Exorcist.
Really?
Yeah.
I'm shocked. Okay, now which Pope was this?
That was the one where he was the one that was... I think he comes at the... He's in the cellar with him at the end.
Cellar with him in the...
Like...
Is he the guy who Russell Crowe comes to, like, get the order to go after that ghost?
Yes.
Okay.
Yes.
Well, he didn't even say that much in that
movie. I know. I was like, nah, I don't think he was that bad.
Yeah, come on.
I think you're just throwing stones at
people. Yeah, come on.
All right, then there's another category called Worst Screen Couple.
Oh, boy.
Any two of the merciless mercenaries from Expendables 4.
Any two?
Yeah.
Wow.
Any two of the money-grubbing investors who donated the $400 million for remaking rights to The Exorcist.
Wow.
Anna de Armas and Chris Evans, who flunked screen chemistry in Ghosted. Selma Hayek and Channing Tatum in Magic Mike's Last Dance. And Pooh and Piglet as bloodthirsty killers in Winnie the Pooh, Blood and Honey. These are real awards. Right. I'm not making this up.
This is so funny. The fact that they said any two of this is expendable, that is bad. Oh, good. And this is Expendables 4, right?
Yep, yep.
Jeez. Okay.
Then there's worst prequel, remake, ripoff, or sequel.
Okay, interesting.
Ant-Man and the Wasp, Quantumania. Mm-hmm. The Exorcist, Believer. Mm-hmm. Expendables 4. Indiana Jones and the Dial of Destiny.
Oh.
And Winnie the Pooh, Blood and Honey.
Wow. Okay.
Now, I have seen I've seen three of those. Mm-hmm. And of the three that I've seen, mm-hmm. Quantumania was awful. Yeah. No, I'm sorry. Blood and Honey. What am I saying? Winnie the Pooh was the worst. Quantumania, I just didn't like... Yeah. I didn't like Kang as a villain, okay. But Winnie the Pooh, Blood and Honey was for god awful. And then they have worst director, the Winnie the Pooh director, Exorcist director, Ant-Man director, Expendables, and Meg 2, The Trench by Ben Wheatley, worst director.
Meg 2, they need to get to Meg 2.
And then worst screenplay, it's kind of the same movies.
Same movies.
Except Exorcist, Expendables, Indiana Jones, Shazam, and Winnie the Pooh. I'd say Winnie the Pooh because it's just...
Winnie the Pooh and Winnie the Pooh and Meg are probably going to win most of those.
So those, my friend, are your Razzie Awards.
Wow.
And they're going to be nominated. They're going to be announced the Saturday before the Oscars. So they always kind of go first to get the headlines, uh-huh. And then the next Sunday morning is the Oscars.
Right, let the Oscars take over the media.
Uh-huh.
Oh, my goodness.
So that's what's going on in the world of film right now. It's award season. We like to call this award season. Theaters don't really get a lot of new movies, or studios don't put a lot of their good movies out during this time because they kind of throw their crap out.
Are the Oscars still held in L.A.?
Yes.
Okay. So they're going to be shutting down the L.A. Basketball stadium to hold this,
correct? I believe it's there. That's
okay. Because I know they usually shut down Staples for, like, the Lakers for, like, 6 days.
Yep.
You know.
It is... it's actually going to be at the Dolby Theater at Hollywood. Mm.
Because technically it's not Staples anymore. It's Crypto now.
Okay. Well, crypto, whatever. It's yeah.
Right.
Okay, so the Crypto.com arena, mm-hmm. or something. Because that's on their jersey, right? Yep. Crypto. It's actually going to be at the Dolby Theater, which is a different theater. Okay. Now, they have, like, the Grammys sometimes at Staples, or there's other awards that are at Staples. Okay. The VMAs, things like that.
Okay.
But this will be... This will be at the Dolby Theater.
Okay.
So yeah, that's what's going on, man.
I got some fun questions for you.
All right.
When is the next time Will Smith will make an appearance at the Academy? If you had to give your best guess, I know he's banned, right? Uh-huh. Is he banned for life?
I don't know. I wanted to say 5 years.
Okay.
But let me just look that up because I
feel like that's still looming over the Oscars just a bit. We're two years out.
Okay. In 2022, Will Smith received a 10-year ban from the Academy Awards.
Oh, wow.
So it won't be till 2032 that he's eligible.
How old now?
Yes, he's got to be 50. He's got to be in his 50s, mm-hmm. now.
So he probably never get there again.
Oh, I mean, they pull out a lot of old people. Well, they just brought out Liza Minnelli a couple years ago, and she looked like she was on death's door. Will is 55 right now.
55, yeah, I don't see it. Almost 70 years old.
So he'll be 65, 66 when he's eligible.
Oh, he might not even be doing
well. He'll be 66 when that version of the Oscars is eligible.
Without, He might not even be doing movies.
So your question was, will we see him again?
Yes.
Yes.
You think so?
I think so.
For nominations?
For, no.
No.
For, he'll come out to announce an award.
Okay.
And he'll get a standing ovation.
Right.
Because people will think he's redeemed himself. And we've forgiven him as a nation.
Right.
And we all love a redemption story. Mm-hmm. And some of us will still boo him. Because
mm-hmm.
I will.
Because mm-hmm. I'm telling you, man, he made an absolute fool out of himself that night.
Yes, he did.
That's hard to recover from, man. I gotta be honest. And I should have said when I asked you the question, for nominations. That's what I should have said.
Okay.
Cause I think also too, they probably will bring him on stage, you know, yeah. for some little, you know, presentation.
Will he be nominated? Will he be nominated? Mm-hmm. No.
I don't think so, man.
You can't do that because I mean, even as a 65-year-old man,
mm-hmm.
You know, is he gonna slap somebody? Probably
mm-hmm.
not.
Mm-hmm.
But you're still you don't want that drama.
Right. And furthermore, I just think he's going to be, he's not going to be, if he's still making, I don't know. I don't see him making films until he's 66 years old. I mean, how old is Denzel Washington? Because he just did an Equalizer.
Equalizer 3, right?
Mm-hmm.
Which is on Netflix now.
Mm-hmm. No thanks, but.
Denzel is 69.
See?
Damn.
And he still looks terrific for his age, you know what I mean? Are they sure?
Yeah.
No way. He's 69?
That's what it says. according to Wikipedia,
wow.
He was born December 28, 1954. He's 69 years old.
Well, that's impressive. You know? And I guess, hey, I mean, if Will Smith can, you know, keep up as good as him, then maybe. Maybe. Because the thing about Will Smith, he is a good actor. But man, he just shot himself right in the head with that one. I don't know, man. When do you think the next time Denzel will be up there? Ever think he'll get up there again? Nomination wise.
Yeah. No. Jeez. He was nominated a couple years ago
mm-hmm.
For Best Actor in the. It was a movie play. Oh, was it Hamlet?
He did Hamlet.
Yeah.
The Shakespeare talk.
Right. Oh, awful. But it's not awful. I can't.
Yeah.
I can't.
The Shakespeare stuff is way overboard.
I see him getting nominated again.
Okay.
You know, he'll do something.
Mm-hmm.
You know.
One final hoorah.
Yeah, somewhere he'll be a supporting actor for somebody, you know.
Okay.
Lifting, maybe with his son or some other, black actor or some other, you know,
right.
pushing some other person up into the stratosphere.
I can see it. Because if I'm not mistaken, Clint Eastwood has to be the oldest guy nominated for an Oscar, right? I think he got nominated for, what was the movie he did with the young Latino kid?
Gran Torino.
Gran Torino.
Yeah,
I think he got nominated for that.
Yeah. Because he's 93 right now, but he would have been in his 80s during that nomination.
That's one badass dude.
Yeah.
It's like straight up Clint Eastwood, man. He's no joke.
He's so good.
I love Clint Eastwood. Like that growl, like yep. No one can do that snarl face like him, man. It's crazy.
Yeah, his westerns, man, are so good.
Mm-hmm.
And then the Dirty Harry stuff from the 80s.
Mm-hmm.
He's awesome.
He really is. I would like to see, I would like to see one of these, because we get so much superhero, like cinema now.
Yeah.
I would like to see one of them like hit really hard and make it to this level, but I don't think it's possible.
Right.
I don't think it's possible. I don't think you have enough.
You mean to be nominated for an Oscar?
Yes. Best actor, best film.
Yeah.
Anything.
I think, you know what I mean? I think, Heath Ledger winning for the Joker,
okay,
was the highest. Dark Knight not getting a nomination was probably robbery.
Mm-hmm.
And if it was nominated, it didn't win. I right. can't remember, but it didn't win. Something's got it. That was how long ago?
Right.
I mean, we're not getting good cinema
right.
superheroes.
I think that's it, Jason.
Yes, sir.
I think that's it.
All right.
All right. So, for Jason, I'm Jeremiah. We are Destruction Reviews Podcast. Thank you, everybody, for listening. We're growing more and more every episode. We love you guys. Stay tuned. Ask your parents before subscribing.